Welcome to the Bird's Eye View podcast. I'm Zach Berman alongside Jeff McClain from Philly.com. And we have a special guest, Nora Princiati from Boston Globe. Nora, thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely.
Jeff, you're a Super Bowl veteran, but this is your first time covering the Eagles in the Super Bowl. It's a little different for Patriots writers. It seems like they're here every year. What's it like being a Patriots writer when you know your season's basically going to go into February every year?
Yeah, it's funny. I asked for a really big winter parka for Christmas because I figured I was going to be here.
You're coming to Minnesota? Yeah.
You know, I think it makes you feel like the regular season kind of starts in January. I'm always sort of very eager to have matchups that feel juicy to dig into at that point because you spend a lot of the regular season sort of not trying to make a Jets game seem compelling X's and O's wise. There's always something else going on, but it's so much more like personality driven and whatever Patriots drama is happening that given week driven. And then usually once we get to this time of year, it's more like we can actually talk about football. This year's been a little different because there's been a lot of drama and they've had some, at least on paper, pretty uneven matchups, but you know, it's just the way it goes.
Did you expect the Patriots to get to this point, early in the year when they were 2-2?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a personal rule that I said this on our podcast a while ago, that if the Patriots have a bad early season loss to the Chiefs, everyone needs to be calm. We need to all understand that this is not a big deal.
Wasn't that the On to Cincinnati game with the Chiefs?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And they really have started functioning. They would never say this, but September is like an extended preseason. It's fiddling around with personnel. That's not to say that, you know, Stephon Gilmore having absolutely no idea what he was doing had to do with them fiddling around with personnel. That was just a mistake. But so much of what they do, particularly defensively, is built around guys doing what Bill Belichick tells them to and not so much about tons and tons of talent and ability, that it takes a while.
When they go into games, are teams almost defeated going into the game because of that so-called Patriots mystique? Is this a team that's as good as previous Patriots team, or is it the reputation that's kind of holding them up right now as well?
So, no, I don't think this Patriots team is as good as previous Patriots team, particularly on defense up front. You know, they are relying on, you've got guys like James Harrison who, you know, have barely been in the building and are at the end of their careers. You've got guys who are, you know, plucked off practice squads, or a guy like Marquise Flowers, who's primarily a special teamer in Cincinnati. And it really is just a matter of them coming together with good coaching over the course of an entire season that has meant that they haven't, you know, had too many disasters. Because when you think about it, you know, if you look, particularly look at this matchup, compare their front seven to the Eagles, and it's like, yikes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
what they do with Brady.
Yeah.
He's pretty good. He's
things
pretty good.
Things are different on the other side of the ball. But I just think defensively they're not particularly talented. And they just, I try so hard not to say do your job because it makes me want to punch myself in the face. But they do what they're told. And they can scheme around some talent deficiencies up there, you know, after losing guys like Dante Hightower and Shea McClellan, they expected more from. So, yeah, no, I don't think it's as talented.
Well, that's one of the most impressive things about this run is that Bill's been able to do it with so many different types of players and different teams, and every year the turnover is pretty drastic when you think about it. The team that won, was it 2 years ago? There's only 5 starters that are...
Is that right?
Yeah. Gronk.
Okay. Brady, obviously.
McCourty.
Yeah.
Brady.
Do you include Amendola as a starter?
Solder, I think.
Yep.
And no, I don't think you count Amendola as a starter. Okay. And then there's somebody else on the defense.
Patrick Chung?
And Chung.
Yes.
And Chung. Okay.
Chung is the guy.
So, I mean, like the fact that he's been able to do it over and over, obviously he's one of the mainstays and Tom's one of the mainstays. But I want to talk about Bill a little bit and ask you about him in terms of like what, I mean, usually when you go back and look at these games, the ones that they've won, you said, oh, that coach made a mistake, and it's pretty glaring, and Bill doesn't. So you know, what is it about Bill, especially in these big games, where he's just able to out-coach the other guy? Well, and we're talking about, in this case, possibly Doug Peterson.
Right. So some of it is that, you know, history is written by the victors or whatever it is they say, that I think people go back after the Patriots have won a game and, you know, for instance, take the Jaguars kneeling at the end of the first half.
Right.
Now, I remember sitting in that press box when that was happening. We were all saying that was a smart decision.
Really?
And, yes.
You were saying the opposite.
Yeah, okay. Jeff was sitting there being like, why is Marone doing this? Yeah.
I think, so the way that we felt as I would say the majority of Patriots writers was they're not giving Bortles a chance to go throw a pick or do something stupid.
Okay.
And we all thought that was a really great idea in the moment. And then after the game, you know, too conservative, playing not to lose instead of playing to win. Somebody, you know, Bill Belichick does it again. He's on the other sideline and it just makes everybody get really scared. But so there is an element of that. But, I mean, I think it comes from a place of truth where you have guys who are experienced coaches like Pete Carroll who just kind of see the hoodie and freak out a little bit. I don't have any super secret, you know, insider tip other than that's just what happens. And I think it's Belichick and it's Brady, but people try to get cute. And you have to play such a perfect game against them, and that's a hard thing to do for anyone. You know, anybody is going to make a mistake over the course of a 60 or more minute game.
We'll see if that mystique, the Bill Belichick mystique, is true with the Eagles, because Doug Peterson, one of his strong traits is that he has been aggressive.
Yeah. He's not going to change that.
And he's, I don't know if he, yeah, but it'll be interesting to see if he does. I mean, he's kind of ended up doing some things differently than he did, you know, whenever he's played Bill, Andy Reid, that is. And, like, for instance, the Eagles had 25 seconds left in the first half of their NFC championship game against the Vikings, 20-yard line, two or three timeouts, didn't kneel on the ball, threw a screen, 11 yards, another pass, 36 yards,
big Ertz reception,
another pass, and they're in field goal range. They get 3 points before the half, and they're getting the ball back. So some people will say, oh, we're getting the ball back at the start of the first half. You know, we could take our chances, kneel on the ball. We're at it. We're up ahead. They were ahead 17 points at the time or 14 points at the time. But to me, that just told me that Doug Marone was just taking his foot off the gas and was kind of like, I don't know if he's letting Bill play his mind, but he was not, you know, striking when the iron was hot, not, you know, sticking the dagger in. And Doug has done that. And you think that he'll be that way, but it'll be interesting to see match up against Bill if he gets a little more conservative, if placed in that situation, if the Eagles do get ahead. Because Patriots have never scored a point, I think, in the first quarter of a Super Bowl game.
I saw that stat. That surprised me. For a team to be 5-2 in the Super Bowl, in the Belichick era, I know they lost one with Parcells, but 5-2 in the Belichick era and not score in the first quarter, that says something.
Who are you picking in this game?
I will be picking the Patriots.
Yeah.
But you know what? I might be, I don't know where the spread is right now, but I might be picking the Eagles against the spread.
Cover, okay. Yeah. So you think it's going to be a close one?
I do. I think, you know
what? So why the Patriots?
I just have a really hard time picking against Belichick and Brady.
I've seen that
in
movie
this
before.
Spot against, I just couldn't bring myself to do it.
I've been going back and forth.
Like, I look at the matchups, and I'm like, I like the Eagles on the line of scrimmage, on both lines of scrimmage.
Yeah.
And usually I go with that, but it's hard to pick against Tom Brady. So I've been going back and forth for the past week and a half on it for that reason.
Is there any other reasons that you think you look at that team? I mean, Gronk is probably going to play. That's a matchup. No one can guard him really one-on-one. So that's certainly a matchup that favors the Patriots. But let's say the Eagles do double him. Who are some of the other guys you got to worry about on offense that could potentially hurt the Eagles?
Well, you know, I think he hasn't had a spectacular year, at least in terms of relative to what people wanted from him. But I think just schematically, you're going to have to worry a lot about Brandon Cooks.
Yeah,
because right. And if you have to worry about Gronk, if you have to worry about Danny Amendola underneath, there's just space for him. And you know, he can, the way that he runs, he can burn you for 30 yards at a time. So that's tough. But, you know, James White's another guy. He hasn't been doing a lot lately, but he can always come out, and obviously he had, you know, a huge game in the Super Bowl last year.
Arguably the MVP.
Right? Yeah. I mean, we'll probably give it to Brady if they win again, but it certainly could have been James White. I would say those two are guys to look at. And then on defense, you know, I'm curious to see how Patrick Chung goes with Ertz. Okay. I would give that matchup to Ertz, you know, in terms of who has the advantage, but I would say that it's closer than I think a lot of people would realize. Chung's a really good player. So those will be some of the things.
Not so good in Philadelphia. now he was a little injured that time, and I think the scheme may have played a little role in him not playing well.
Sure, yeah.
But
I got one last question. I'm curious. Yeah. They're losing both their coordinators, obviously, to be head coaches. We saw the ESPN magazine story on the inner workings of the organization there. Is there fear in Boston and New England that this could be the end of the Patriots dynasty, so to speak? That like tomorrow, or I shouldn't say tomorrow, Sunday night could be the last hurrah for this group?
I love this question because it's so funny because it's been going on for so long that of course it's going to end. It has to end.
At some point, yeah.
Bizarre that it's gone on this long to begin with. But yeah, I think there's a palpable sense. I actually think that that's kind of a big reason that fans in Boston have gotten up for this game and are excited about it, because it could be getting old hat at this point. And I think, again, more than the sort of X's and O's football matchups, what Patriots fans are good at getting riled up about is the, you know, they hate us because they ain't us, everybody's against us, New England versus everybody stuff. And I think the ESPN story, even though, you know, to my knowledge, that's all true, plus stuff that's going on with Brady and his trainer, and just the sense that...
Which you guys had from the beginning, the Boston Globe, right?
Yes, true. Thank you. That tip. Love it. And just the sense that, you know, the coordinators could be leaving, and special teams coach Joe Judge, who everybody knows how Bill Belichick feels about special teams. That's
still
a big
area
job.
Native Joe Judge.
Right? There you go. There you go.
Where do you go to
Lansdale Catholic, I think?
There you go,
I think so.
Yeah.
Well,
Zach's like Mr. High School.
I think so.
Zach can tell
if
you almost every
not
professional
Catholic,
athlete where he goes to high school.
Yeah. That's a good
trick. I think Lansdale Catholic.
My nieces and nephews go there.
Well, so his contract is expiring, so he's probably, it seems like he could maybe go with one of the coordinators, or he could be out the door too.
Yeah.
So that is a lot of upheaval. And then you look to the draft, and there's a possibility that they could be looking quarterback, and... Yeah, there's a lot of change coming.
No, I mean, this is the end, potential end of a reign. I mean, it's you know, it's coming. Everyone knows it's coming, and everyone's kind of positioning themselves for what could potentially happen in the aftermath. And with Tom, it sounds like he doesn't want it to end at all, right? I mean, he's going to play until he's 45, which I guess it doesn't seem like he's showing any signs of slowing
down. He's my MVP this year. So.
Yeah, I want Carson Wentz, but Tom's certainly a good choice as well.
He played 16 games.
There you go. Well, anyway, thanks for joining us. It was great.
You,
we love all the insight we can get on the Patriots, and certainly for our podcast, mostly Eagles-centric. But this big game, you really want to hear from the other side.
And check your workout at BostonGlobe.com.
And Twitter handle?
@ Nora Princiotti. People can figure out.
Yeah.
It's PRINCIOTTI.
Terrific. Thank you, Nora.
Thanks, Nora.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
So back here on the Bird's Eye View podcast, you just heard from Nora. Now let's shift gears. Jeff, as I said at the beginning, you're a Super Bowl veteran.
You've been to your share.
This is my third. I was in New York, I was in Arizona, and now here. But the lead into the question was, how does this one here in Minneapolis, not necessarily a destination city, how does this compare to some others you've seen?
Well, you've heard from so many other people about how they were making the predictions that the Eagles would be at the Super Bowl, not based upon what they thought before the season about the quality of the team, but just the fact that it was in Minneapolis. The Eagles are going to get stuck. Because last time they went, it was in Jacksonville
exactly.
Which is not the sexiest of
Florida
cities. They're
waiting for New Orleans again.
I mean, New Orleans and Tampa.
San Diego.
I would take Atlanta. Yeah. So it's cold here. Yeah, no kidding. The game's going to be played indoors. And from what I understand, this new stadium is beautiful.
That's what I've
set up for
read
a
about
big
it,
game
yeah.
like this. So I think it's going to be a great atmosphere in the stadium. But the week prior to that, there's going to be some obstacles, I think, for the Eagles getting to and from places. Apparently their bus froze or something.
I saw that. I saw something like that.
Yeah. So
they're staying at the Mall of America at the Radisson Hotel here at Mall America, and they're practicing at the University of Minnesota, which has a beautiful facility.
Yeah.
A great indoor facility, actually better than the Eagles facility. It's a full 100 yards.
And the Patriots are at the Vikings practice facility, just to be clear, so we know which teams are playing where. The atmosphere here, just to kind of give you a little glimpse into it, is so the media center is at the Mall of America. Now, the Mall of America is not the biggest mall in America.
It's not.
The King of Prussia Mall is in the Philadelphia area. Once they connected those two,
that
the plaza
is true,
and the court, it became the biggest mall in America. But this is a big mall.
This is.
And
this one has a roller coaster in it. KOP does not have any.
That is true. And we can see it from here, right? We can see some of the rides.
We can see the water park. Yep.
And we're right now situated on radio. Now, Radio Row is where all the kind of sports talk radio stations come into the Super Bowl, and they broadcast from here. But there's usually more going on TV sets. NFL Network is down there. I can see them in the horizon. Not far from the Shake Shack that I plan on hitting tomorrow. And so we're in the middle of, like, the food court. So there's, like, all these little, you know, there's a melt shop over there. I had lunch there today, Zach. It was good.
It was good. They have that in King of Prussia as well.
They do have one in King of Prussia. And, it, you know, there's a lot of buzz going on, a lot of Minnesota fans and people just kind of milling around and walking around. I mean, yesterday,
it is a cool venue. I admit that. I think it is a cool venue.
And I understand why they're doing it. I mean, you're going to generate a lot of sales.
Sure.
In this mall and for the local economy by having it here. People are going to want to come here.
As opposed to a hotel ballroom or convention center and things like
true,
that.
Right. As a matter of fact, I was at the Nordstrom yesterday getting my shoe shine, and in walks the entire...
shoe shine?
Yeah. And in walks the entire Eagles secondary.
Watching you get your shoe shine?
They were there to buy shoes.
But they see you there.
I think
Malcolm would respect that. I think Malcolm Jenkins would respect
that. Oh, yeah, they were like, oh, yeah, you get your swag on.
Yes, okay.
Because, I spotted Jalen Mills from a mile away with his green hair, and he was really intent on buying shoes yesterday.
Okay.
Now, a lot of the men moved on to the women's section to
is
buy
right?
for their wives.
This is the type of in-depth reporting you only get on First Eye View. Yes.
Sorry, but just to kind of give you, so the Eagles are staying at the Radisson, which is attached to the mall. The Patriots staying at the JW Marriott, which is also, they're both pretty much brand spanking new hotels. We're separate. We're staying somewhere far away. But if you're coming into Minneapolis, there's downtown, and then 20 minutes out of downtown is Bloomington, is where we are. And a lot of the activities are going on here. The NFL experience is here. Am I right?
Not possible.
But there's stuff going on downtown. Yeah. There's stuff going on here. And I know from what I understand, a lot of Eagles fans are coming in.
And we'll be in St. Paul tonight for the media night, the welcome night, which is a made-for-TV event. It's not necessarily one where you get the best sound bites of the week. But who do you think are going to be the guys on the Eagles who become household names tonight, if you will?
I mean, I think we've kind of asked this amongst ourselves, but I think Lane Johnson's going to be a guy. I mean, he joked right after the Eagles won the NFC Championship. I'm like, are you going to wear the dog mask? He's like, I don't know, I may wear like a... you know, what would he say? Viking helmet or something like that. Or not
he had that blonde
helmet.
Wig during training camp.
He said, I might wear, I don't know. He said a couple of goofy things, and he's like, I don't care. You know,
Lane has personality.
Lane does have personality. He's not afraid to joke. And honestly, one of the endearing things about Lane is he doesn't really take himself too seriously. So he can laugh at his own expense, and I think that he'll have fun with a lot of the craziness that goes on at the media night. I mean, I think in terms of answering questions, you're going to get an hour of Jim Schwartz on the podium.
You think he's going to be into it?
I think what I've noticed over the years covering these is that, like, even like the most ornery interview subject eventually has to give himself
like Bill
over.
Belichick. Yes.
Like, although as I've said before here, Bill seems to actually almost embrace the moment. But I think after an hour, Jim's going to have to give in. And just to give you at home a little glimpse of what you're going to see, most of you, when you watch tonight, is that it's a spectacle. Players are going to come out. The last 2 years, they've come out on catwalks, and they get introduced as if they were, like, you know, at a red carpet type event. And everyone will be, like, you know, the cameras and the photographers will be fixated on their entrance. And I don't know if they're... Someone from the Eagles said that they wanted to introduce every player individually.
It's going to take a lot.
And he's like, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
So, I don't think they'll probably introduce Doug and Nick and whatever. But
you get down to Nate Gary, and it's like...
Yeah. But what I'm going to ask you, because you've been around, obviously this being your third Super Bowl, what should we make of this week for the Eagles? Like, how do you think this could hurt or help or you know, what do you think this preparation will do in terms of them? Because this is the first time a lot of these players have gone through it. It's different than when Doug was here as a player and as an assistant. Actually, has he ever been here as an assistant? No, he's never been here as an assistant. But as a player, what do you expect this week to be like for the Eagles?
I think that they got a lot accomplished last week. I mean, they had padded practice, 3 full days of practice. They were on the practice field again Saturday. I think they did most of their game prep last week. You don't want any controversy if you're the Eagles this week. So, and I'm not even talking about what they say to the media. I'm talking about stuff away from football that gets them in trouble. But I think they're going to be loose. I think they're going to have fun. I think that's what I'm looking to see. Is the moment too big for them?
Right.
Or is this a group that can have fun in the moment? And I think it's going to be a group that's fun in the moment. One thing that stood out to me this whole year about this team is just their personality. They're a real confident group. They're not surprised to be here. I'm surprised they're here. But from the beginning, and I went back and I read a lot of our old stuff, and like they were saying back in the summer, this is going to be a good team. And I think a lot of the veterans really felt back then like there was something on this team, and they've taken on the identity of your Malcolm Jenkins, Chris Long, Brent Celek. You go on down the list. They have a lot of respected veterans on this team.
But they've taken on the personalities of guys like Lane and younger guys like Jalen Mills, who want to have fun.
Yep.
And Malcolm keeps talking about that. He's like, we're young guys, and Doug allows us to actually act that way.
Dancing at practice, and
right, during the games, the celebrations, you know, and it's not over the top, and it's nothing really in a negative way. And, you know, you'll have that with some coaches where they just kind of don't want to deal with that kind of stuff because they're all about business. And I think Doug allows his players to have a little leeway. And I think he's going to give them a little leeway here. Now, the good thing about being at the Mall of America out here in Bloomington is there really aren't many distractions, I think. I mean, unless you want to, you know, shop for beef jerky the beef jerky shop down there, or, you know, buy shoes at Nordstrom or something
like
that.
It's not like Miami or New Orleans.
Right. Yeah. But again, I mean, you know, it's just funny. I was talking to LaShawn McCoy today for a story I'm doing on Nick Foles. And
check that out on Philly.com.
Yeah, check it out.
And Daily News.
And McCoy was saying how, you know, I was joking. I was like, you're missing the locker room. And he's like, well, yeah. He's like, yeah. He's like, because I was the only one, because I had the swag. He's like, I don't think anyone there has any swag anymore. And I was like, what?
That.
He was like, kind of like joking a little bit. And I said, you know what? That's actually kind of true. But at the same time, I don't know if that's a bad thing. I mean, I think you meant swag and, like, you know, a little cocky.
But I think they got, you know, like Jalen Mills. Is
they have cocky guys, but like maybe he meant more in like superstar.
Yeah, well,
swag.
That's true. I don't
star
think they
swag.
Have
swag. They don't have star
yeah,
swag.
Like, and there was a period of time when I first got on the beat when they had Mike Vick, DeSean Jackson, and LeSean McCoy. And those guys were bona fide stars. They don't have that anymore.
Yeah, and so wait, on the podium at tonight, they have coordinators, and typically the coordinators aren't on the podium.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah. Now I'm looking.
They got Lane is one of them. They got Brent Celek is one of them.
Right. So the Patriots, for instance, only have Bill and a bunch of players.
Yep.
The Eagles have two of the coordinators, Doug, and players. And it was a struggle for me to think of enough players that would be on the podium.
I was surprised Chris Long wasn't up on there. Because I think he's going to get, even if he's not a starter, and maybe that's why they didn't do it.
Yeah.
Because he's not a starter. But he's going to get a lot of attention to
me. And I'm surprised, like, Jason Kelce isn't up there as well.
Yeah, 7 years.
He's long been a spokesman, certainly for the offensive line and for the team. Maybe that he isn't as, like, I hate to say, because he's always media-friendly, but not as media-friendly as he used to be. I don't think I've ever seen coordinators up on the podiums. And it's interesting that the Eagles are doing that. And I think part of it has to do with, like, I don't know if they have a lot of guys who are comfortable with that podium.
Interesting.
For instance, I mean, Alshon Jeffrey should be an interesting hour.
Yeah. Alshon usually doesn't have a lot to say.
Yeah. So it should be an interesting night. Well, our plan is to talk to you guys daily.
As often as we can. We're going to try daily, but certainly more than we do in a typical week. We have a good setup here, as Jeff mentioned.
Try and get some guests on, too.
Absolutely. That would be great. So until next time, that's Jeff McClain. I'm Zach Berman. Thanks for listening.